I'm thinking this morning about the things that we put value on. And thinking about something that was said in Sunday school earlier. You know, I can want a lot of things. Brother Keith was mentioning about seeing a lot of things and thinking a lot of things you'd like to have. Well, you know, I can want a lot of things. I can look at things and say, boy, I'd like to have that. My old pickup truck's starting to rust out quite a bit. Joints is bad on it, and everything's starting to kind of come undone on it. And so I think quite a bit about, I'd like to have a new truck. Sometimes I'm busy up on the property thinking, it'd be nice to have a tractor up here, or a backhoe, or be nice to have a bulldozer to push stuff around with. I can go to Lowe's and see air compressors, saws, tools of all different kinds and think, well, they'd be nice to have. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But the main thing is what does it cost? You know, that's an important factor. Not just price all the time, but what does it cost? I'd be willing to say that if they was having a special deal, at the Chevrolet place down here today, that you could buy a brand new Chevrolet truck, four-wheel drive, decked out, loaded, for $500. I'd probably drive it to church this evening. I'd get one. Probably most of us here, if it was a legitimate deal, said you come on down, we'd scrape real quick. We'd do what we could for $500 for a new truck. Well, yeah, we could do that because that's within range of what we could do. But you know, it'd cost me more than I'm willing to pay to really buy a new one. It just costs too much. And want us to think about it in life, because there's a price tag on everything we do. There's a price tag on it. I was thinking about a story. There was a man back in 1849. He was a blacksmith up in, I think, one of the New England states, Massachusetts somewhere. And the word come that they found gold in California. Well, skeptical. People were skeptical. Word kept coming. You could go and just pick it up. Gold. People was getting rich. Gold. You could just go get gold. After a while, it was confirmed there was a great gold strike in California. This man, blacksmith, done well in life. Done well. He had a wife. He had seven children. He had a good business. Had a good home. Things were going well for him. But he got on him. And he wanted the gold. He wanted to go and try it. He could get rich. They could be rich. He could go get the gold. His wife wasn't as into it as he was. They ended up coming and talking, and finally they got to the determined that he was going to go to California. Now, going to California in 1849 is not like going to California now. If I had to come and tell my wife I'm going to California, we'd probably have to talk through the night anyway. And you can get on a plane and be there in a matter of a few hours, but it still wouldn't be something that my wife would really go for if I just had to jump and go to California. But this guy was in 1849. He had quite a deal to get to California. But he decides he's going to California. So he leaves his wife and seven children for an adventure. You know, things cost you. It's going to cost you something. Everything's got a price tag on it. This had a big price tag on it because it wasn't cheap to do what he was doing. But there was a lot more. He paid for a lot more than just the financial price of this. But he takes off and goes to California. And there was letters that was written. This was part of history. The woman writes her first letter to him and says, "Darling, when you left, it about killed me." She said, "I didn't think that I could endure it." That's a big price for gold, isn't it? But he went, he took, sailed a ship from New York. He went to New York, got on a ship, and sailed down to, he had a choice to go around South America, or he chose to take the Panama route. He went and went across the little short place into the Pacific side. You had to take a jungle trip through there, and it was a few days walk, but it saved the whole deal, and then you could catch another ship. And anyway, in months, it took him about 5 months, he got to California. Gold's everywhere. Gold, the promise of gold. You can be rich. You can be fabulously rich. You can have everything. Well, when this man, by the time he gets there and he's psyched up about the gold and all that, he goes and he finds out that every place he looked was somebody digging. Thousands of people had already got there. There's still a chance he can go, and he goes here and goes there and he starts digging and looking for gold, and he finds a flake every once in a while or a little old thing of gold, and the wages and the food and everything was just, in order to do anything was extremely high, and he couldn't find enough gold to even buy himself anything. And he kept trying and trying, and then he writes a letter home. His letter was something like this: "Honey, if I could just know that you're well taken care of, if I could just know that you and the children are happy, it'd make it a lot easier on me." You get the conflict this guy's in. I want this chance of this gold. This guy stays out there and goes through the next winter and stays out there in the course of a couple years. He don't get no gold. And he writes a letter back home and said, "I've come to the end." He said, "I've left everything important and dear to me to try to find gold. And now I realized I left the gold in pursuit of something else." That was an awful price to pay, I think. I mean, for my personality, folks, that was an awful price to pay. I know you could say what you could have or what you could do or what you could be or what that, all that. But 2 years of my children's life isn't worth the gold they've got in California. It just isn't worth it. There's a price tag for everything that we do. And I look at the things that I want sometimes, I'd like to have, that I think would make life easier, better, funner, more enjoyable, or I'd have it, or whatever it is. And then I got to realize, what's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me if I do have this? Sometimes, folks, it's not worth the price that you're going to have to pay for it. And my burden today is that it's simply this. I feel like the Lord give me this burden at Monarch. I think the burden that the Lord give me is simply this, that we would weigh out, be willing to weigh out the true cost of things in this life and get the real true value about life and about our lives and what it's really going to cost us. You know, it would be awful
for a few moments or a few times or something that I want or a desire that I have, it would be awful
to pay the happiness of my family for that.
It would be awful to pay the soul of one of my children for a moment of pleasure. It'd be awful to pay. The price is too much. It's too much to pay. I can go get me a brand new Chevrolet if I wanted to, but the price is too high for me. I can't do it because the price is too high for what I'd have to do for it. I don't want it if I got to pay that price. I could go live in a much bigger, better house if I wanted to, but the price is too high. For me it's too high.
So with that in mind, I'd like to look at some scriptures. I'd like to look at some stories in the Bible. The first one I'd like to look at is in, Matthew. Oh, let's see. Matthew the 26th chapter. Matthew 26:14 says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priests. Of all the characters in the Bible, how would you like to be Judas Iscariot? I wonder how many people have ascribed to that. I've thought before, I wonder what it would be like to be Paul. Apostle Paul, I wonder what it would be like to have had God move on your life like that. I think about Peter and the way Peter was, even with Peter's ways. You know, Peter was that one that just stepped out. He's the one that spoke. He's the one that, you know, I say about Peter. Peter had a good ending, good conclusion. Be something to have been Peter, been right there. John, ladies, was the one that ladies had on the Lord's breast. But what would it have been like to have been John? Well, like this, you can describe to be these men. Wonder what it'd be like to be Matthew. Wonder what it'd be like to be Judas Iscariot. He was a man. He was a real man. And one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priest and said unto him, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. That's all in a question. Should be read. What will you give me and I will deliver him unto you? Question. What will you give me? And they coveted with him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was a lot of money. It's what the going rate in those days was for a slave. Was 30 pieces of silver. You could buy you a human being for 30 pieces of silver. You could buy you a worker, buy you a slave for 30 pieces of silver. And Judas goes and says, you notice there they didn't come to him. Judas went to them. Judas wanted money. It was important to him to have something. Bank accounts are nice. Things are nice. But how much does it cost you to have it? I think it's wonderful to be able to put a few dollars aside, have something that you could... It's right. It's actually right to live that way. Go to the ant, thou slugger. The ant goes and he works and he puts... It's wise to do those kind of things. But what do you got to do? What do you got to do and give up? What do you got to do to have it? What's the price on it? I've known people in my life that gathered money to have it, to hold it, to keep it, without the proper use of it. Money's got a proper use. It isn't to store up, but I put it in a box, keep, hold together. Yeah, it's wonderful to have enough. But I know people that the price of doing that was high. It was a high, high price that they paid with their families. They had money, but they couldn't buy respect with it. They couldn't buy honor with it. They couldn't buy goodwill towards them with it.
They couldn't buy love and friendship with it. They couldn't buy the valuable things of life with it. And what they did cost them more than it was worth. It costs way too much. Judas goes to them and says, what will you give him? So they come and we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. They give him 30 pieces. So Judas ends up with 30 pieces of silver. And he got what he was after. The guy that went to California didn't get no gold. I'm going to tell you, if he had got his gold, he paid too much for it. But he didn't get the gold. He actually spent the life savings of his family to run off on an adventure in hopes or a gamble to get it. I understand that. But he paid too much for it. Judas, 30 pieces of silver? So cheap. You sold out the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. You know, there's a man in the Bible that sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. A bowl of beans. He sold God's intention for him, God's purpose for him, God's blessing to him. All that God designed for him and wanted him to be, he sold it out for a bowl of beans. The price, he got so little for it. Judas gets 30 pieces of silver, folks. That's nothing. But had he got 30 pounds of gold, he sold out too cheap. Way too cheap. It wasn't worth it. Listen, in the 27:1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders and the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned. You know, really, Lord help us to make decisions in our life before it comes to this kind of a place. I'd like to be able to tell the whole world this. I'd like to be able to tell the whole generation of young people that's coming up right now in the whole world. I'd like to be able to tell them this. Change this direction before you come to condemnation. Change the direction that's going to destroy your life. All that's going out there, and especially a few months ago, there was all these events happening where these police officers were shooting these people and these people were dying and all this, and I just wanted to stop everybody, and I'd like to be able to stop the whole world and say, just stop a minute. You can blame the police officers, you can blame society, you can blame everything, but the bottom line is, young person, you're dead. You're going to go out in eternity. You can blame for whatever reason, but when you get out there and do certain things in life, they got consequences. You're paying too high a price. It's not worth it. When the parents of these young people raise them in a certain way and give them the idea that you're getting all in the parents. I'd seen pictures of them. I heard testimonies of them. I read articles about them. And these parents are sitting with their hands in their face in their hands and are weeping and crying because their children have been killed or their son's been killed. They've lost loss in their life. You paid too high a price for your life. For what you've wanted in life, you're paying too high of a price for it. Don't pay your children for that. Don't sacrifice your children to the whims of this world, to the gods of this world, to the motion of this world. For that, it's too high of a price to pay. You're going to reap heartache and suffering with this. Judas, what did you think you were going to get? Stick my hand in my pocket every once in a while just to rub the coins together. Going to give me some kind of feeling of euphoria, of comfort, of well-being. Of a sense that I can buy something, I can have something. I'm going to be something. Judas, your price is too high. You're going to pay more for that 30 pieces of silver than you ever dreamed of. You may do a lot of things to get the things of this earth, to have them, to hold them. But what do you got to pay for them? What's it going to take? We live in a very busy time. I'm going to tell you, don't pay too much. It's not worth it. Don't pay too much. Listen to this. It says of him that when Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See now to that. Well, I'm going to tell you. There may come a time that we would say, the price is too high. I don't want to pay it. And the old devil is going to say, oh, what's that to me? What's that to me? See to it. You've played with my toys. You've made a deal, an agreement. You've stepped into my world, my realms. And now you're going to have to pay for it. Now you've got to follow along with it. No reversing the clock. Wait a minute. Now that I see my children are going errant, now that I see the devastation in what my lifestyle I have, now that I see that I've done wrong, I repent. I didn't mean that, son. I shouldn't have done that. And now he's 18, 20, looking at me saying, what? It don't work. Judas repented. You know he repented of that? Adam Clark said it this way. It was necessary that Judas did this. Because if one in his inner circle could say that he was an imposter, Jesus wasn't an imposter. I think there was something different about betraying the Son of God than there is betraying me. I think Judas stepped into something that was way beyond in the spiritual world than anything that he could. You imagine what the devil done? You know where Jesus, when if you read back in there, when Jesus said to Judas, what thou hast to do, do quickly. You know it said that Satan entered his heart? Judas stepped into something that was beyond his control. There was, once Judas gave himself to this, there was emotion played in here that he couldn't stop or change. Judas, you wanted to be a Judas? And he cast down the pieces of silver. It wasn't enough anyway. Wasn't enough, Judas. That's too cheap for the Son of God. There was no price, but that was too cheap. And so he took the 30 pieces of silver with his heart. Have you ever in your experience, have you ever done something that was wrong? You ever done something that touched your conscience? Can you feel this? Can you feel what Judas is feeling? He thought he wanted something. But now the something was valueless. You understand what I'm saying? It had no worth to it. Had it still been valuable, it had still been hanging to it. Judas got to the place that the very thing that he thought was what he wanted didn't do it. So he cast it back, take it back, change this, reorder this. Give me a chance, an opportunity. I don't want it. I don't want to touch it. He threw it away. But folks, he couldn't change. He couldn't change it. I thank God that we saw, I have an opportunity to change the things of our life. Judas left the temple. He departed and went and hanged himself. This is the question. What could he have had? What could Judas Iscariot have experienced in his life? What great things of God could he have been, could have been wrought at his hands? What closeness could he have got to Jesus? What souls could Judas Iscariot ushered into eternity, God's heaven? What thing could he have done? What book? Is there a book? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Judas Iscariot. No. No books, no writings, no miracles, no testimonies. What could Judas have had? Judas, you sold out too cheap for what you could have had. What laid right there before you? You could have had all the good things, but you sold it out for a desire for something of this world. Oh, I'm going to tell you folks, it's so cheap. Don't be very cautious, careful. Be very diligent to see the true value and worth in what you're paying for, in what you're getting. And come to the real conclusion, can I afford this? We'll do that in financial things, of course. I mean, we'll do it. To be honest with you, we do it without anything. Go to the store. You just about can't help it now. But I remember a time going to the store. I remember when tomatoes went 99 cents a pound. I flat refused to buy them. I said, I am not paying 39 or 99 cents a pound for tomatoes. That's ridiculous. That's a good price now. That's cheap. For a tomato now, that's good. But when that happened, I say, I'm not doing it. I look at it and say, no, I won't do it. But Lord, help us to do that with what we're spending our time on, what we're paying for in life, and what we're getting. Can I afford that? It's not worth it. Over in the book of Joshua, another familiar story here. 7th chapter of Joshua. Says in the first verse, children of Israel committed a trespass. For Achan, tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing and angered, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Is it possible for one man to affect a nation? Was it possible that one man's deed affected thousands? You and I can't always see what the spiritual workings are. But I'm going to tell you something. What this country is, what this country's paying for, they can't afford. What this country is getting, they can't afford. We can't afford it. It's beyond what we can pay. God was angry with Israel, the children of Israel, because of Achan. I don't know how to explain that altogether, But I like to think somehow there's some responsibility to one another. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't diligent enough to make sure. When God says don't touch the accursed thing, maybe He didn't intend for the people of Israel to be indifferent about that. I don't care where somebody does it or not. That's them. Is that our mind? I don't care if people want to be homosexual. That's good enough. Listen, we love everybody. God loves everybody. God wants the best for everybody. But everything isn't good and isn't right and isn't wholesome and doesn't make for better generations and makes for better. There is a cost to pay for everything. We can't afford to be indifferent about it. We can't afford it. We've got to hold to the things that's right and true. We got to. Love, of course, is the first order of that. There's things that's wrong. And it's bad for everybody. Achan took of the accursed thing. It angered the Lord. Without reading this, you can read through there, but they come up to after the great victory of Jericho to where the Lord told them, I don't want you to take any of the spoils of there. And they said of the gold and silver and all that it was go to the house, the treasury of the Lord. And for them not to touch any of the accursed thing. For all Jericho was accursed. And leave it alone. Don't take spoil from there. That's what the Lord told them to do. Or not do. So they come up to a battle. Come up to this little city of Ai. Looks easy enough. Joshua says, oh, it's just a little battle. We won't even send up the full army. Just send up a few men. Go up there and take Ai. God had promised Joshua if he'd done the will of God and followed the Lord that he would prosper and the Lord would fight the battles for him. These men go up there to take Ai and lose the battle and about 36 guys or so, 30 some guys die in the battle. Wait a minute, men lost their life because of Achan. Achan, oh Achan. Folks, listen, get the lesson. It's going to cost too much. The accursed thing will cost you too much. It isn't worth it. It might tickle your fancy. It might be the thing I've got to have. It might be what the desire's on, the eye's on, the thing I've got to do. But I'm going to tell you, it'll cost you more than you'll want to pay for it. It ain't going to work. Achan got this stuff because he lusted for it. He coveted it. He thought he had to have it. He knew the rule. He didn't think it mattered. Yo, devil will come in many times and say it won't matter. It won't cost you nothing. Why, people won't even know. You don't reckon he told Achan that? Achan hid it. Nobody will know. God knows. They lost the battle. Joshua got serious before the Lord now. Lord, why did we do that? Joshua, get up off your face. Sin in the camp. 21st verse. This is 20th verse. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons
I don't think this is by accident. Everything we do in life is going to affect the ones closest to us the most. Had he got by with it, it would have been his children that would have prospered by it. Right? I mean, if somebody, if my dad had been a bank robber and robbed several $1 million, he'd have probably gave some of it to me. I stand to prosper. I stand to lose. He had sons. He had a family. And his decision to follow that way of life, they took him and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. All of his family. Now there's an analogy. There's a lesson to be learned in this. It sounds cruel. It sounds inhumane even. They took him and all of his children. They took his oxen. And what did an oxen have to do with it? They take his donkeys and his sheep. That sheep didn't do anything. They took his tent. His clothes, his tools, everything that had to do with Achan. You know that the analogy is the touch of sin. It's the leprosy of sin. It's the bacteria of sin. It's the growth of sin. The idea is that, I mean, anybody that's been in the around the medical profession or nursing or anything that knows that infection is you guard against it very closely by taking care of the whole area, right? I mean, somebody that's susceptible because of one way or their immune system is some way. Lax or is weakened or is compromised in some way, they are very particular about the washing of the wound or open areas or anything, and they get the whole area. Not only the whole area, they take care of the things that it touches. You have things like sanitized gloves. You wear a mask. You take things out in a certain way in order to clean and to take care of that because you are taking care of the whole thing, whole area. Achan, you paid too high a price for that. It wasn't worth it. You could have been honorable, noble. Your children could have went on to have been great people of God. And you polluted them. No, in actuality, you can't link this. But this is what it means. You polluted them. With your decision. With your want, your desire to have something. And it cost you way too much. Way too much. It isn't going to be worth it. We have a hard problem distinguishing. It becomes easy. And I think we'll all recognize this. And Lord, help me to be able to say it and articulate it right. But we all have an understanding that our minds can become get into a place that our religious ideas, our salvation isn't forefront of our lives. And we can allow that to take a second seat to our lives. And we will react off of secondary things. And we aren't reacting off of primary things of our religion. We aren't thinking about the idea that I'm going to go to heaven one of these hours.
I want to go to heaven, or that heaven's there, or that death's imminent. We're thinking about something secondary. We'll all do it. If we're not careful and stay on top of things, we'll all react to secondary things. Not primaries. Achan almost definitely was responding to secondary urges. He knew. Folks, this guy had come across, he was one that come across the Jordan with it spread open. He experienced things of God. Achan saw the walls of Jericho come down in a great miracle. Primary stuff here. But he gets in there and he responds to a secondary notion of his life. Not a primary one. We all have needs and wants and desires, and it's not wrong. I don't think there was anything wrong with having a garment. There's nothing wrong with silver and gold. It's how you get it and whether you get it right or not. And he responded to that. David responded at some time after all the response that he had towards God in a primary way. God, God, God. No, I won't touch Saul. God's first. I will not touch his anointed. No, God's first. Primary. I'll face that giant because God's first in my life. Primary. He got to a place till all that was put aside in his life, and he reacted to a secondary notion about something he wanted. David, that cost you more. It cost you too much. It wasn't worth it. This isn't worth it. Lord, help us to put the right value on the right things. And I'm going to say today, anything that's going to interfere with our walk with the Lord, anything that interferes with a clearness before us and the Lord and my ability to be able to face God in peace, it ain't worth it. It ain't gonna be worth it. And whatever I got to do to change that, alter that, if I've got to humble, apologize, whatever I got to do to change that, it'll be well worth it. It'll be well worth it. Another scripture I want to get in closing. Oh, let's see. I think this is the 16th chapter. Of Matthew. Alright, it says for 25th verse. 16th chapter of Matthew. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It ain't worth it. You get the expression? It's not worth it. And he says, if a man, for what is a man profited if he shall gain? Because he's not going to. Alright, today, somehow or another, God grants you ownership of the earth. You and you alone own it all. You can do whatever you want to with any of it. It's all yours. Scripture says it wouldn't be worth it to lose yourself. So I couldn't imagine whittling it down to a few feet of land. I couldn't imagine whittling it down to an heirloom that hung on my mother's wall, my grandmother's wall. I couldn't imagine it getting down to a dispute over a vehicle, or down to a grudge, or down to a... It's not worth it. The price is too high when it comes to my own soul. For what? A man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a question. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I know what a man will give in exchange for his soul after he's already lost it. When the awful realization comes that I've lost my soul. There isn't anything I wouldn't be willing to give to get it back. So we look at it and say, Lord, help us that we don't get into a place that in a moment of time or in a choice or a decision that we make, that we think something's valuable, worth it. When the temptation comes, and Lord help me here, when the temptation comes, Lord help me to have the strength to be able to seek You, though I get strength above it. That I would be willing. Not only that, but I'm going to tell you something. The Scriptures teaches us that there is a real value in confessing our faults one to another. That you might be healed. I'm saying it in this way. There's a real value into coming to the place to say, I'm being tempted with something. I need the body here to pray for me. And you know what? I'm not going to be intimidated that you're going to look at me like I'm less than I should be. Because we're all in the same struggle. Here to do this, to win this, to gain this. And I don't want to pay a price that's too high. I don't want to pay a price for the loss of my children. I don't want to pay the price for the loss of their love for the Lord or for the confidence they have in God because they've lost. No. That's a price that's too high to pay. Lord, help us. Do you know we can pay a price because we're willing to talk? We can pay a price too high for that talking. If I run down everybody that I know and see, and I run down every saint and every saint minister and everybody around, and my children hear all of it, they're not going to have a confidence in any of it, and at the end of it, I'm going to wonder, well, how did they get where they're at? The price is too high. It isn't worth it to pay that kind of a price for it. Lord, help us to look and see the value. We have something very special. There was a scripture, 13th chapter of Matthew maybe, that says there was a merchant man and he was seeking goodly pearls. And when he found a pearl of great price, he went and sold everything that he had that he might obtain that pearl. We got a pearl of great price. But Lord, help us to hold it as valuable and not sell it off for 30 pieces of silver. Not sell it off for a cursed thing. Not sell it off for a moment of pleasure or a moment of time or a decision made in a weakness time. Lord, help us to weigh the things that I do in my life. I ain't getting myself so entangled with life, I can't do anything. But I'm going to tell you more than that. And Lord, help me again to articulate it to you and understand it. I've only got, so maybe you're different. I've only got so much mental capacities. And we talk about entangling ourselves. I can entangle myself with physical things. But that ain't the one that entangles me. I entangle myself because I've only got so much mental capacity to entangle. And I've entangled my mind. I've entangled my mind, my capacity to even want spiritual things, to even want to pray, to even want to do the work of the Lord. I can entangle myself till I don't have any capacity. Understand what I'm saying? It costs too much. It's not worth it. I may put value on some of those things, but folks, I know some of it's not. My mother-in-law got me a little, what they call it, a tablet for my birthday. A little tablet. Neat little things. I'm not a gadget person. And so Marty sets it up for me and I got eSword on it. I really like Streams in the Deserts on there and it pops up. Every time you hit on it, it pops up the new day. Every day I hit on there and the next day's on there. It's programmed in there. What's the day of the ninth? Yeah, I accidentally had went one day too far. You can go the other day if you want to, or go look through. And I read yesterday's day, but you can go, and it pops out. It's a real neat gadget for all those stuff. And it's also got this other little game on there. It's a neat little game. I don't remember what it's called now. Do you remember what the flow of the, what's that called? You connect the dots. You have to cut all the spaces. It's a game. It's a game. And you got to go so fast, and you can put different times on there. And I like to go to the 4-minute time. And I can solve, I solved 38 of them in 4 minutes. That's 6.3 seconds per puzzle. Man, I was just getting it to this. And then that said, I wonder if I can get 40. I wonder how much mental capacity I can drain out of here before I'm gone. Before I'm toasted. With it, you don't think that's right. I'm going to tell you, we'll give you a warning. We live in a spatial time for those kind of things. And you can do a lot with it, and it's handy and all those kind of things. But I, as has been said many times, be careful. Be careful about, listen, look up a scripture, fast. Daily devote, fast. I can get it all real quick, fast. I can take it in fast. Then I can spend an hour sitting there in my chair playing connect the dots. And I've only got so much mind to play with. And I'm going to tell you, I've got less mind today than I've had several years ago. And I got more, less and less that can entice, because there's only so much that really can go in there. And Lord, help us to make there a big wide space for the Lord to talk to us, for the Lord to deal with us. Because to be honest with you, it's not worth it. If the bottom line of my life is a shipwrecked life, a loss of honor and integrity, a loss of respect, and a crashed family and a crashed life and a crashed spiritual adventure, it ain't worth it. Lord, help us. You pray for me.